What makes Good Friday good? That's the question we're going to address in this edition of Steadfast Hope. Crucifixion is a horrible thing. This is the killing of a criminal. But Jesus was no criminal. So at the crucifixion, something horrible happened. And yet, the crucifixion is filled with good news. This Good Friday, let's think together about the incredible significance, about what makes Good Friday so good. Imagine you were one of those witnesses there at the crucifixion. And not just anyone, you were one of the disciples. And I don't mean one of the 12, I just mean one of the people who were following Jesus, those who had put their hope in Christ, in this Messiah, the one who was going to deliver the people. When you saw him publicly defeated, humiliated, stripped and crucified. What must have that been like? Absolutely horrible. Horrifying. Not what we wanted to experience. Our hopes, our dreams shattered before our eyes. Indeed, this is what was going on in the midst of Christ's crucifixion. It seemed like everything had gone wrong, like everything was out of control. And yet, the crucifixion was not out of God's control. It was just like the many times in our life when it seems that everything is going wrong, a time not for fear, but a time for faith. When you can't see how the situation you're in could possibly work out for good, you need to remember that you don't have the big picture. You can't see it all, but God still can. You need to put your trust, your confidence in God, whatever difficulties come. Now, I want us to specifically think about what it was like for those in this darkest of all days when Christ had been crucified. What did this mean for the faith of the followers of Jesus? I invite you to take your Bible and turn with me this morning to Luke 24. Luke 24. This is after the crucifixion, and this is actually after the resurrection. And Jesus is going to appear to some who don't know that he's rise from the dead just yet. So Luke 24, beginning at verse 16. No, I'll start at verse 15. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What is this conversation that you were holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Indeed, they would have been sad. Listen as they explain what their sadness comes from. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered and said, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know about the things that have been happening there in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" They said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." The sadness in their voice. We had hoped that he was the one, but now their hopes have been dashed, have been crushed. Jesus, who's hidden to them at this point, he's got to be just smiling inside. "Oh, you don't see it. You don't see the big picture." And so now he's going to explain to them that this was always God's plan. So down in verse 26, Jesus says this: "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." See, what happens is in this passage is Jesus says, this had to happen. This was absolutely necessary. There was no other way. The Christ had to suffer. And then he walked through the Bible to show them how they should have seen this. As they read their Bibles, they should have understood that this darkest of all days was going to indeed be a very good day. For Jesus was dying in the place of sinners. Now, later, the disciples indeed came to understand this glorious truth. So turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And here we have a prayer. Peter and John have just been released. They gather with the church, and then they pray these words. It says, they lifted their voice. Oh, I didn't tell you where I am. This is Acts 4. I'm starting verse 24. Acts 4, 24. They lifted their voices to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why do the Gentiles rage or the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. So they quote from Psalm 2, pointing out how foolish it is for people to go against, to set themselves against, to rebel against the anointed one, the chosen one. They continue, verse 27. For truly in this city we're gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. This is astounding. See, these people, they're rebelling, they're sinning. I mean, they crucify Jesus, the innocent, the pure one. This was an act of utter wickedness. This was a horrible atrocity. And yet Jesus let it happen on purpose because this was the plan all along. In fact, what we have on display here is human responsibility and God's sovereignty all together. It's amazing. They chose to do that which was evil and wicked and sinful. And at the same time, they were doing exactly what God had planned all along. In the midst of your life, when difficulties come, when pandemics come, when the horrible diagnosis comes, you must recognize that in the midst of all that's going on, God is still at work. And so it was in the crucifixion of Jesus. This was the plan, and the plan would not be stopped. God was using what was intended as evil, which actually was evil. He was using it for the ultimate good. You see, Jesus, he was laying down his life so that he could make a way for sinners to be justly shown mercy. He was making a way for sinners to be forgiven. Oh, what a hope that we have. On the darkest day of all of human history, of all history, God was working the ultimate good. Oh, Good Friday is rightly called good, because Jesus worked wonders that day. This day, I want you to think about the wonders of what Christ has done, his perfect life, his substitutionary death in the place of sinners, and the fact that he rose from the dead. Whatever tomorrow brings, know that your hope is in the Lord. He is a sure and steadfast hope for us all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord's countenance rise upon you. May he give you peace.